This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we are in the hermetically sealed studios here at in East Hartford. We've been running out of this studio ever since the COVID. And Matt's back in Farmington all by himself there. Hi, Matt. And he's running the show. And we're doing our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And you guys have been nice enough to join us on Saturday morning here. We got one line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, if you want to get online. And, of course, you can watch us over at the live stream over at WTIC's Facebook page. But let's get right to your calls first here. We're going to go to Jim in New Britain first. What's going on, Jim?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I enjoy your show, too.
Thank you.
I got a question for you. I have a tablet, and there's a whole bunch of us goats that correspond back and forth with emails. And one of the guys just recently, I got a bunch of questions about this, and before I get into it. He has his password sort of like his name.
Oh, boy.
Like John Smith.
Yeah.
That's bad, huh?
Oh, yeah. That's very bad.
Okay. I thought so. And what happened was someone got into his email.
Yep.
And if you're from town, you would know when you see his email that who it is. Mm-hmm. Someone got into his email. Somehow, they took, like, say it was John Smith.
Yeah.
They left the space so you really couldn't contact him because of that space in his name. If, for instance, say his email was John Smith with no spaces.
Yeah.
They tapped in and left the space, and what they said was they made up an email to all his friends.
Yep.
And he said that he was asking if asking me, or I was one of the first receivers, if I had a Amazon account, and if I would forward him some money,
right,
through the Amazon account, or
right,
however that works.
Yep.
And And then, he would pay me back after.
Uh-huh.
Well, he knew nothing about this.
Right.
And my question is this: how were they able to get into his password? His
email?
How were they able to get his password like that? It was almost identical to his real password.
Yeah.
And I answered it. Am I compromised by now? I thought
no.
It was a serious question.
Right. No, you're not compromised. So it sounds like they used his email connections to send out false emails that looked like it was him. So his email address is jimsmith@gmail.com. They found all of his contacts by hacking his email box. The way they hacked his email box is, you told me his password was really very simple. And if he uses his password in other places that have already been hacked, it's already been available on the dark web for anybody to find. So a lot of people, unfortunately, reuse the same bad password in multiple ways. I think I've told this story where I was sitting across a very, high-level CEO of a company, and he was talking about how proud he was that he got all of his accounts under the same password. And I was like, bad news. You only need one of those companies to have a compromise, and now the bad guys know your passwords. So how they got that information is probably fairly simple. Once they have the contacts, they then created an email that looked close enough to his email that you were tricked. It's called a phishing scheme. And the bad guy acted as if he was your buddy, asking for money, and thankfully you didn't fall for it. You're not compromised by receiving that request.
By answering him, am I compromised?
No, you're just responding back like a pen pal.
Okay.
You're fine. The other way that people get access to people's systems is they simply ask for it. So if his email address is at cox.net or at AT&T.com or whatever, at Comcast, they will send an email as if they're the IT people for that company. And they'll say, they're going to send it from, IT support at cox.net. Please enter your credentials. Your account is being suspended if you don't update your credentials. And the person will put his information in and basically give it to the bad guys. Right? They just ask for it. And that happens all the time. It's called a phishing scheme.
With a PH.
Yeah, with a PH. It's like me going to you and saying, hey, can I have a copy of your house key? And because I'm with the town, and you're like, okay, here you go.
Jim, what's your password?
Yeah, what is your password, Jim?
Don't tell us.
But that's all that happens. We're fishing you on the air. The point is, that's all they do is ask for it. It's the easiest way to get access to people's stuff is by acting like you're from somewhere else and asking for the information. That's called a phishing scheme. And without good security awareness training, which we do for our business clients, we offer security awareness training so their people are always on guard for these types of attacks, that we train them all the time and we try to trick them all the time, and we tell them whether or not they fell for our trick, hoping to give them more ammunition as the employee to protect the company from these types of things, because this is just a silly email box scam. Imagine if they're tricking you into getting into your bank or getting into your retirement account or getting into whatever you think is important to you. All they're doing is asking you.
Yeah, what happened to me one time was on Connecticut Light and Power. I paid my bill. I was lucky. I paid my bill a couple days before.
Right.
And I actually got a telephone number.
Right. Saying you didn't pay your bill, they're going to turn off your power.
It's from CLNP, though.
Well, it wasn't from CLNP. It was them spoofing the number.
They had the same number that CLNP has.
Yep, they were spoofing it. It looked very close to the same number, or they were simply broadcasting the number on the caller ID to make it look like it came from CLNP. These days, you can't trust anything. You're back. I think Jim's breaking up. So thank you for your call, Jim. We're going to have to let you go. You were just breaking up. But yeah, it's a scam. All right. So Jim's going to hopefully go off and tell his buddy that he's got to change his password. And again, it happens all the time with passwords. I mean, and the thing is, when we say change your password, don't change it back to something you know. That your email password should be the most complicated, ugly password you've ever come up with in your life. Very long, very ugly.
Use a different password for every account you have.
Right. And if you ever have to, if ever you have an issue, and this came up recently with a client, where they're asking you to change your password back because somebody else changed it for you, to change it back to that password is not a good idea. It needs to be a completely different password. And write them down. You can use a password manager if you want. There are password managers out there. I choose the old-fashioned method. I know Bob does too, because you know what? You can't hack my index cards. You literally have to break into my house. And if you really want to do that, go ahead. But you're not going to hack my passwords through a software tool, because mine are written down, period. And I know anybody asks for my password, guess what? You can pound sand. We're gonna go out and take a quick
That's
break.
That's a good password,
yeah,
almost.
Pound sand. There's another method of two-factor authentication you can consider, which is called those Yubico keys or the Titan keys that we talked about. Those are physical two-factor authentication that will also harden your account, because without that second factor, no matter if they have the password or not, they can't get in without you touching the Yubico key. So lots of options to secure your stuff. We're going to step out for a quick break. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11. Let's get right to your calls. We're going to get to Sarah in Meriden next. What's going on, Sarah? You there? Hey, Sarah, you there? Uh-oh. Sarah going once? Sarah going twice? You there, Sarah? All right, put Sarah back on hold, Matt, if you would. And let's go over to Joe in Stafford Springs. What's going on, Joe? Hey, Joe, you there? I can hear something there. Hey, Joe, you there? You're on Computer Talk. You're live on the radio. 50,000-watt flamethrower.
He's listening on the delay.
What's going on, Joe? What can we do for you?
Good morning. I have an Android cell phone.
Sure.
And it's 1 year old, Galaxy. And it used to automatically, when I'm looking at pictures, it used to automatically slip when I rotated it at 90 degrees, go from portrait to landscape. No longer does that, either in my gallery app or in my home surveillance app. I used to be able to just rotate the phone and I would get it from portrait to landscape. That no longer works. Is it some setting in, is it in the app setting, or is it general phone settings that I can retrieve that?
It's in the auto phone set. It's in the general phone settings. It's under the display settings of Android. You want to go to the advanced settings and make sure you have it set to auto rotate screen.
Auto rotate. Great. Yeah. I have one more quick question.
Sure.
Could you list any of the potential disadvantages to using StartPage as a search engine?
I've never used it, so I wouldn't have any understanding of disadvantages of StartPage.
What about DuckDuckGo?
DuckDuckGo there? Yeah, DuckDuckGo, they actually talk about being a more secure way to search, a more private way to search. I wouldn't have any problems with it. No, not at all. I mean, go for it.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for answering those two questions. I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Bye now.
All right, bye-bye. Let's go over to back to Meriden and see what Sarah's got cooking. Hey, Sarah.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have three easy for you questions this morning.
Oh, now we're going to blow that good. Yeah. Thanks for that setup.
I just switched to Google Fi.
Oh, nice.
So far I'm happy. It's only been a couple of weeks.
Yep.
But I don't have good signal strength here for T-Mobile. So they told me I could turn on wireless calling, which I think I did. But how does that work?
It goes through your internal wireless cable service or your internet service at home.
Or if you have your own Wi-Fi, you just set it up so it uses that.
Right.
But how does the phone know Wi-Fi?
It's magic.
Nah.
So what you can do in the settings of the phone is to tell it when you have bad cellular service to choose Wi-Fi as a option. So when your service is not powerful enough, the phone will be either smart enough to flip over to Wi-Fi calling, and it's all called voice over IP. You're actually using your analog voice is being converted into a digital packet, an IP packet, by the phone. And now you're going to have to get out to the network, right, so that you can speak to your the other side of the call. And basically, your voice is being sent over, hitting Wi-Fi in your home or going out to cellular network, over the network, whether it be Verizon or T-Mobile or whatever it's going to end up on, back to the other person's cell phone as an IP packet, then converted into analog to their ear. But it is a little bit of magic.
Is that different than turning on the wireless calling, or is that the same thing?
Same thing.
Okay.
So turn on wireless calling, and you'll have better result because you don't have T-Mobile service nearby your home.
Okay. Now, my second question is, I know you use Waze.
Yep.
Which is better, Google Maps or Waze?
Well, I've not had good luck with Google Maps, so I've stuck with Waze for better or for worse. It has taken me down some weird goose chases on occasion. I'll find myself making some weird left turns, but you can set that. However, the great thing about Waze is whenever there's a police activity, it allows me to stay very safely away from the police so that they can continue to do their job, which is usually speed trap. But we're keeping safely away from it, so they nicely marked that for me.
Also, accidents. It tells you where the accidents and construction.
Yeah,
okay,
very handy.
Google Maps doesn't do that.
It might do some of that, but again, I don't use it enough to do it. Have you used the Google Maps at all?
Yeah, I use it.
Does it tell you that stuff?
It'll tell you construction.
But that's about it.
Yeah, that's about it.
So no accidents. It saved me from like things on the road. And when I'm driving down the highway and there's an object in the road, there'll be a big warning coming up. So then you can prepare for it. There's nothing worse than running over something you could have avoided. And Waze will tell you because of the other folks have marked it for you. And I think that's very valuable.
Okay.
It'll tell you how far down the road it is, too.
Is I have a Cox modem.
Yep.
Can I put open DNS on a Cox modem? I have it on the computer, but I don't have it, you know, on the modem itself.
You can. You probably can set up the DNS settings. The problem is the moment you have a problem with your internet service, Cox is going to default that device back to factory fresh to get you back up and running because they're not going to want to.
If they do a firmware update also, they're going to default it.
Yeah. So I would tell you to consider buying your own device and having its own control. So you buy your own modem. You go to a big box store like Best Buy or Staples and buy a Cox compatible modem. And then you can buy a router. And now you've got your own settings. And that way, if you ever have an issue, Cox can't mess it up on you.
Okay. And you can bring your Cox modem back to them and stop paying the $7 a month.
Yeah, no, I've thought about it. It's just that I'm on a budget, and I just switched to Google Fi, so it's going to take a while to make that switch.
Okay.
I told you these were easy questions.
Yeah, make sure you turn on your data saver on your phone. Turn that on so that you're not using any kind of data you don't want to use. So the thing about any of your apps on your phone is they will just draw data wherever you are. They'll update your Facebook, but they'll do all sorts of stuff while you're at the supermarket or what have you, just consuming data for nothing. So turn on your data saver so that they don't do that, and make sure you set all your apps to turn off the background updating. Because again, you could be at a deli and all of a sudden your phone is using data to update something that you really don't care to have updated over the cellular network. If you set that up to block all that background updating, you will reduce, you'll jiggle the handle, as I call it, on your data, because it'll stop pouring out of your phone and you'll only update when you're in your home network, your Wi-Fi network, or any other Wi-Fi network. If you go to like shop somewhere, connect to their Wi-Fi, it's free. Now your phone's updating that way rather than paying anybody for these silly updates. Does that make sense?
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, and good luck.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's move on to, we have probably a minute here. So let's go to Rick. And Rick, let's get your question before the bottom of the hour, and we'll probably have to put you on hold to answer it. Is that okay? Rick, you there? Wake up.
Thinking about getting a Chromebook to do my banking on rather than using my Windows Hewlett-Packard computer.
That's smart.
Okay, that's all I needed to hear, so I'll be down at Best Buy for one.
Yeah, just get that. Just only use your Chromebook for your banking, your financial work, and do your best to not surf on it for anything else. Only use it for that. You'll be much safer.
I tend not to surf. I'm messing with Norton on my laptop right now, and that's a pain in the neck.
Yeah, consider going over to Webroot.
Yeah, I heard you speaking about that earlier, and it sounds like a good deal. It's only a couple of bucks a month.
Yep, that's all it is.
Okay, Webroot. I'll switch Norton out of my life.
All right, sir, good luck.
Canine and malware bites through you, and then Norton, and now Webroots.
It's whatever it is, it's constantly changing. As all it all stays the same, it's constantly changing.
Yeah, it's absolutely before it's done.
Exactly. Thanks, Rick.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I want to thank you guys. We're going to stick around. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. So two lines open for you. So Clyde and John, hang on. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll do our best to answer all your computer comments, questions, and concerns. And we do thank you for joining us on this Saturday morning. Of course, Mike G posts everything live over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you go to Facebook and like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg may allow us to send these links into your newsfeed if he deems them worthy. And of course, if you follow us on Twitter, we're there as well. Everything get to your Twitter feed. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. We're here till 11 o'clock, and then stick around. Dr. Alessi will be on. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. And then, of course, Len and Lisa will be in with Garden Talk. And not much you can grow these days with no water. Everything's dust out there, but I'm sure they can help you.
Even when it rains, it soaks in so fast.
I know.
That it's still dry.
It is crazy, crazy, crazy summer. But we're here to help you out with your computer problems, which are crazy enough as it is, too. Let's go to Clyde in East Hartford. What's going on, Clyde?
Hi. Yes, this is Clyde in East Hartford. I'm 83, so I'm not a computer whiz.
All right.
And couple of questions, though, that I had. One was, I can't get on my computer without signing on as a guest because it's tied in with SBCglobal.net, which we haven't used in at least 4 or 5 years, and we can't remember the password.
Oh, boy.
So I've been signing in as a guest, which that part's okay.
You're locked out of your machine.
Yeah. The other thing is the security. Security system. We've got the, can I tell the name of the security?
Okay.
Norton, which you're paying $95 a year. Now, I got on the phone with them and spent 45 minutes yesterday trying to just change the email address from SBC Global to the one we have now.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't do it.
I don't know.
I think I'm somebody that gets on, you know, illegally or whatever.
Right.
If that their security system wouldn't allow it. But you mentioned about a half an hour or more ago the name of a security system that's $2 a month.
Yeah, roughly $2 a month. It's called Webroot.
Webroot. Root.
Yep.
It's not a security system. It's antivirus.
Well, it's what he calls a security system.
Right, I understand. But, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an antivirus tool.
Since I only use it for email and the Zoom church services on Sunday, do I even need a security thing?
I don't go
on the Internet.
If you don't do anything on the Internet and you don't care if you get hit with something, you technically don't need one. But if you'd like to avoid problems that are caused by viruses without an antivirus tool, you're more open to having problems. So I think you should have something to protect your computer. The problem, though, you have is... Go ahead.
Well, you think Webroot would do it, though, huh?
Oh, yeah. Webroot's a good antivirus tool. It's cheaper than what you're paying with Norton.
I can go online, and I can do this on my phone. I have a smartphone here. I'm talking to you on.
Yeah.
And... I just go on Webroot and sign up with them.
Right. And use a different email address.
I'm going to call Norton and cancel that.
Yeah, good luck. If they wouldn't let you change your email, I'm not sure how they're going to make it easy for you to cancel your service, too. But good luck. You could always cancel it on your credit card.
Yeah, I might have to go that route.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you very much for your help. I really appreciate it, and I love listening to your show.
Thanks, Clyde. We appreciate you being there.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. We're going to go on to Meriden and John next. What's going on, John?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Big John from Meriden. How are you today?
Doing okay. Pretty good, I guess.
Quick question for two, if I may.
Yeah.
I have a Lenovo laptop, and the operator of this thing, that would be me, probably put the plug into the port incorrectly, or I bumped it when it was plugged in or something, but the port does not work anymore. The rest of the computer seems to work. I don't think anything is shorted out beyond that hardware of the port.
Yeah, so you zapped it with the USB port somehow?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
The rest of the computer seems well. There's nothing is malfunctioning as far as I can find.
All right.
To replace that UBS port, let me back up. Should I start to look for another laptop because of that one port, or can that be repaired?
Do you have more than one USB port?
No.
You only have one USB port.
Hmm.
What model is your laptop, Lenovo?
I don't have it in front of me, to be honest with you.
That's okay. So you only have one USB port, though, John, huh?
I believe so, yes.
All right, that stinks. So there's no real repair that we could tell you. It wouldn't make any sense to tear it apart and pull out the USB port and repair it, unless Bob thinks elsewise. He's looking at me funny.
Is it a newer Lenovo?
It's probably 3 or 4 years old.
Three or four. I would think that it has more than one USB port. I have a hard time believing that a three-year-old wouldn't have at least two.
Yeah, mine only has one, but that's just mine.
Well, you have like a tiny, tiny.
I have a tiny, tiny. Yeah. Tiny, tiny laptop is what he's saying. Tiny, tiny. Yeah, thanks, Bob.
But I don't know.
I should check on that and see if the other port works.
See if there's another port, yeah.
Yeah, if the other port works, just ignore the one that you fried.
The other thing you may have is there may be a USB-C port somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you can get an adapter to adapt USB-C to USB
3.
Oh, okay. The other question I have, first of all, thank you for that.
Yeah.
The other question I have is that most of the time I listen to you guys and the other great shows on TIC on either my phone or my laptop or my iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And the commercials that are on there, it seems that radio.com, they only have three commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have to put up with commercials, but to hear the same commercial 19 times in an hour is kind of annoying.
So here's how it works. I'll give you a general understanding because I don't know specifically because we don't specifically work for Entercom. But the idea of streaming allows for people who are putting out commercials to actually target using something called geofencing. So
right.
when we're broadcasting over the air, it's all a matter of how far the signal reaches, right, for my message to be heard. But I can actually, if I wanted to market to John and Meriden, I could actually market my commercial to a specific neighborhood if I wanted to.
Okay.
And so what's happening there is the people who are purchasing these commercials, well, I don't know which one that's running over and over again, have purchased a bunch of them, and they're focused on your spot there in Meriden. The 1080 really has no control over that. It has to do with how they sell the stream. Literally, we've done digital marketing as well. Our commercials could be showing up on the WFAN podcasts, believe it or not, because we chose different types of mediums that we wanted our message to be heard in. So, unfortunately, I hear your complaint. You want to have fun commercials along with fun radio, right? You don't want to have boring commercials, but
right.
It is what it is with what you're currently hearing based on what people are currently buying. But it is a neat technology in that you can really geofence and target your listener by all sorts of demographics. I mean, I could pick, you know, Big Johns, Little Johns. I could pick age groups. I can pick towns. I can pick education levels, whatever. Yeah, whatever they know about you to that level, you can be very specific.
I see. So it's... But an example is one commercial is it's a DNA for a dog that I must have heard that 500 times in the past week.
Dog DNA?
Excuse, yeah. I don't know why. I've got my dog Ethel, but she's a dog. I'm not going to do a DNA test on her.
Well, there it is, though. You must have told some marketing company you have a dog.
Well, there you go. I should keep my trap shut.
There it is.
Maybe you have Alexa or Google Home.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, it's all collected in all sorts of different ways. So
I got to keep Ethel off the computer.
Exactly. That's the problem.
Listen, I thank you very much. Great show, along with the other shows on TIC. Be well, be safe, and don't shake any dirty hands.
I won't, sir, and thank you very much.
Thanks an awful lot.
All right, yep, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, I think we can go on to our next caller. We're going to go on to Mike in Waterbury next. Mike, you there?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Mike, how are you?
Good. First of all, great show. I love all your information.
Thank you.
About maybe a month ago, you guys were on and talking about when Windows updates, it gets to about 82-85%, it freezes, and then everybody's got to either retract or whatever, and it can't get past that spot.
It happens. Yeah, updates fail all the time for all sorts of reasons.
Yeah. I was online, and I had my desktop, and I was online because it was happening to me. And, you know, you try to update it about 19, 20 times, and every time it freezes.
Yep.
And I said, well, I'm looking to see, you know, I Googled it in and looking, and finally got all the way down, and this one guy said, here's what you got to do.
Yeah.
If your desktop has, and I want to say this correctly, an Anatel or Intel Wi-Fi card.
Okay.
Okay, it's that card's holding it up.
It could.
Okay, when it gets to that spot. And he said, what you want to do is you want to take it out, and obviously you want to move your desktop to plug it in to get your Wi-Fi. But luckily, I had a Linksys, USB thing. I could just pop in and grab the signal from my router,
yeah,
which I did. And the update went through right, just like golden. And then I put the card back in. I had no problem.
Yeah, so that's a specific problem. Problem with the Windows operating system having trouble with hardware that it said was okay in the version prior, but then broke in this version. And this is 1709, right, Bob?
Yeah.
So the problem is Windows promised us that with Windows 10, we all have the same operating system. And even within Windows's only decision-making process, are you okay in the prior version, but not okay in the next version? That's mind-boggling, but it's typical Microsoft.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
We wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for those types of silliness when it comes to Microsoft. I mean,
well, then let them still doing stupid things so you guys have a job.
Well, it would be preferred to be moving people forward with technology rather than fighting with the update because of the version of their network card is all of a sudden no longer supported. It's crazy.
No, I know. Well, the reason why, obviously, I'm calling this is because if anybody out there is listening and had a problem like that, and then they opened up their computer and they see that card, you know, with their brand name, and they could, you know, if they could hook up to it and do it, they'll get their
Their
updates right through.
No, I hear you. In that one case, you're correct. However, we talked about this last week. The latest, this is not 1709. This is 2004 update. It's just a numbering scheme. They couldn't even update their own Surface laptops that they manufacture themselves because of hardware incompatibilities on their own devices.
On their own device. That's amazing. That's amazing.
You'd think it's amazing, but for Bob and I, no, it's not. So it's pretty much typical of Microsoft.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like I said, let them keep going so you guys can still be on the air. And I love listening to you, and you have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks, Mike. You too.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
The problem is those kinds of issues causes us a lot of stress.
They really do. I mean, I had a lot more hair, and I swear it's due to computer issues that I've lost my hair. But that's just me. I think we have to take a quick break, right? I can't tell. I always get all messed up here when it comes to the end of the show here. So I'm going to step out for a quick break, get back to more of your calls, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And coming up at 11, Dr. Leslie will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. So let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to Bill in Westbrook next. What's going on, Bill?
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
I've been a Windows Android person pretty much most of my life. Until last year, I finally switched over to an iPhone, and I love it.
Sure.
But... And I'm now ready to, or I have to, get rid of my laptop. It's acting up. And primarily, you know, I heard you talking about Chromebooks earlier, and I'm banking, email. I do surf the net. I do stream stuff. I watch, videos on YouTube, say, and things with Facebook, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The younger members of my family are all trying to, or not trying, but they're suggesting that I should look into a Chromebook rather than sticking with Windows.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to pick your brain a little bit as to, whether for my usage, it does make sense, number one. And number two, a specific question is I've noticed there's a big price point difference between 4 gigs of RAM and 8 gigs of RAM when you talk about Chromebooks.
Yeah,
I'm just wondering, in your opinion, from my usage, does that matter? Or you know what I mean? I mean, give me some advice.
Yeah, sure. So your Chromebooks are not full computers. It's a browser-based system. So anything you can do with a browser, a Chromebook can do. However, the apps that are out there for Chromebook are not the same kind of apps that you'll find on an Android system. They're not necessarily optimized to be used in a full PC Chromebook size system. I found that to be very disappointing, whether it be banking apps or any kind of financial apps. If they're all optimized for a phone size, they're not optimized for a full-size laptop. So you're going to find some disappointment there, as I did. But anything you can do with your Chrome browser, you can do on a Chromebook. You can go ahead and stream. You can go ahead and watch TV. Whatever you're doing with any kind of browser-based technology, you can do on a Chromebook. As far as performance, more performance is better when it comes to processor and RAM. I would go with 8 gigs of RAM minimum these days for any operating system, if you can do that. And solid-state hard drive would be nice. And a good processor, an i5 or i7. Processor, because believe it or not, Chrome is a pretty big hog when it comes to resources, even on Windows systems. It's really becoming a behemoth, and you're going to have the same problem on your Chromebook. So understand it's not a Windows operating system, so you're going to have to do everything with what are called apps. And apps are not the same as full-blown programs. You're going to have Google apps. You can even use Microsoft apps. A lot of the apps are not optimized, unfortunately, for the Chromebook screens. And you're going to find that to be a little disappointing, as I have.
Okay. Now, is there something coming, though, that is going to allow you to use, for lack of a better term, I don't know, Android apps on a Chromebook? Is there something
yeah.
that's just kind of...
It's already there. It's already there.
Out?
Yeah, no, it's not coming out. It's nothing, something coming out. It's already there. You're going to use it through the Google Play system. But the problem is they're just not optimized for the Chrome operating system. I'm coming up against a hard break here, Bill. I hope I've given you some
advice.
All right, sir. Good luck.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. Stick around. Dr. Leslie's up next. Thank you, Mike G., for posting everything live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Thank you, Matt, back in the studio in Farmington, for running the program. And thank you all on the WTIC stream for catching us out there on the WTIC stream.
See you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.